Beyond the Sermon, Episode 14. All right, it's another episode of Beyond the Sermon. Michael Kennedy, lead pastor at North River Church, coming to you live. Actually, when you hear this, it won't be live. But anyway,
but you are it's alive live right now.
So. I am alive. So we're in the back cave in North River Church, a.k.a.
Podcast Heaven.
Podcast Heaven. So sitting here with... that's it. Shameless plug. So sitting here with Scott Curlin, worship and discipleship pastor. What's up,
man? Are we supposed to applaud ourselves? I don't know.
Yeah, you can. Of course you can, man. So we need, can you add in a little of applause?
Oh, yeah.
So there we go. Yeah. Large crowd in here gathered for another episode of Beyond the Sermon. Also here is Adam Reed.
Hello.
Hey, your voice didn't crack this time.
Didn't crack.
Hey, we're on episode 14. That's good. We are sponsored on this episode. Did you guys know that?
Ooh.
Small Cakes, a cupcakery.
Yes. Go on. Tell me more.
Has agreed to sponsor us.
Okay.
Per some sweet church member going and buying them.
Nice.
For us.
Okay. That's
so
nice.
Anyway.
That's a win for everybody.
Whoever is out there that would like to buy us some cupcakes, we would love to eat them.
So we don't have cupcakes. I was thinking
no,
we had cupcakes.
No.
I was looking.
No, it didn't work out that way. So.
Cupcakes.
But we'll say it is, and we get paid on the back end. Does that sound good?
Yeah, all right.
So
absolutely.
Whoever's out there listening, all
thank you.
Multiple millions of you, we would love some small cakes. Or Amish donuts.
Oh,
either
yes.
way, either way, we'll go from there. So, good stuff.
There were some Amish donuts on Sunday morning, apparently.
That I was supposed to get one of.
I did
that
not hear about this.
Did not make it into my belly.
I just saw somebody eating one. And asked where they got it, and apparently somebody had brought Amish donuts. So
yep. So I believe it was Ashley Ebeling brought them.
Okay. Nice. Thank you, Ashley.
Even though we didn't get one.
So, hey, but she brought them for the church
She
family.
Thought about it.
That's
yeah.
right, that's right.
So,
our house was full that day with donuts.
Yes. Here's the question. I think she brought like maybe eight of them, ten of them in the box.
Right.
So I guess we get epic fail for not being Jesus and multiplying them for
right.
everyone to eat. So.
They're big enough to split four ways at
that
least.
That is true. That is true.
So she only brought 10, so that means a couple got eaten on the way.
That's right.
I do believe she may have eaten a couple. So, or Cody, her husband, may have eaten one or two. So
it was probably Cody.
I would think it was Cody. So, all right, guys, we will dive in. We're going to shake it up a little bit today.
Right.
Shake, shake, shake it off. Shake, shake, shake. Oh, no, wrong. Sorry. we're going to change it up a little bit and how we approach. We'll pick up the text and the message after we do some current events, some things going on in the world.
Right.
So, number one, off the bat, our Dirty Birds, have made it to the Super Bowl. Yes, sir.
It's going to be a good one.
Atlanta Falcons. Now, fact for you guys who may not know this, do you know what number in the draft that Tom Brady was picked when he was drafted?
I know it was not a good number.
Not a good number.
Not a number you'd expect.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he was drafted the 199th pick
really?
Of the draft amazing. The year that he was drafted.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Incredible.
So anyway,
turned out to be an amazing quarterback.
Absolutely.
Going
so there's hope for you who don't get drafted first.
That's right.
So
that's right.
That's what we're trying to say.
He's got a shot at five rings.
Yes.
February 5th. So
absolutely.
Crazy.
Now, we must confess that two of us around the table are Falcons fans. Adam, I don't know about you.
Carolina Panthers.
We forgive Panther fans. So is that Cam Newton?
Cam Newton. We had a rough season.
Oh, gosh. Come on.
See, I feel bad saying I'm a Falcons fan. I haven't been very faithful to the Falcons over the years.
There you go.
I was not a Cam fan until he came to Carolina, though.
Okay. So well, we'll let you slide on that. Old Scam Newton. Good deal. So Super Bowl is not this Sunday, but the next.
That's right.
And it's in the evening, right?
Yeah, it's like 6:30 maybe?
6:30-ish, somewhere around there.
6:30, perfect. So that means, just for everyone to know, You have plenty of time after church on Sunday to prepare for the Super Bowl.
That's right. That's right.
Hint, hint, be at church on Sunday, right?
That's right.
Pray for your team to win. No, I don't think so. No. Just kidding. Just kidding.
That's great.
So we got the Super Bowl. What else is going on in the world? Anybody?
We know? We had our inauguration this past...
we did.
And that's been done. And that's probably all we'll say about that right now.
That's about all we want to say about that right now.
It's been interesting so far, yeah. So goodness. Between the inauguration and the America First speech that Trump gave, yeah. along with the Madonna's going to blow up the White House the next day.
So
it's been a pretty eventful weekend.
Secret Service have been very busy these first 4 days of the presidency.
Absolutely, chasing those threats down.
Golly.
So we will say this, pray for those who are in authority over us.
That's right.
Does that sound good? Good deal.
Like pray for you every day.
Pray for him, right.
Yeah, so perfect.
Absolutely.
Cool. So we got that, and I was scrolling through my Twitter feed this morning and came across a tweet from none other than Dr. David Platt.
Ah, nice.
A little DP action, and he's the one that used to be a pastor in Birmingham, so shout out to...
Brook Hills, is that right?
Yeah, he was at Brook Hills, so shout out to Maggie's hometown. Speaking of Megan, we'll get to that in just a little bit. So anyway, David Platt had posted a picture of himself having just finished his WOD, W-O-D, which, if you're not hip with the CrossFit lingo, means... workout of the day. Nice. So not sure where the T and the goes, but W-O-D. Anyway, but can I just say, the guy who is heading up our international mission board is jacked. Yeah.
He's beast mode, man.
He is, yeah. So anyway, I remember when he was a little kind of skinny guy, you know? So looked like the only thing he was picking up was cornflakes or something, you know? So. But, he's gotten jacked up, so...
I'm just waiting for a battle
on
VR.
He's a bulldog.
Yes, he is. I did know that.
And a centrifuge pastor from back in the day.
Really?
So that's right.
Yeah. So, David, if you're listening to this... Oh, wait, never mind. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, seriously.
Just kidding.
David, please don't listen to this.
Yeah. No, we... be good, so... David Platt, if you don't know, is president of the International Mission Board, also wrote the book Radical, which was... Radical. So I had a friend who said he wrote a book just like Radical, but you don't have to sell your bass boat. So.
That's great.
Oh, that's good. So saw that, and I was trying to think if there was anything else scrolling through that I saw this morning. I don't believe I did. Guys, anything that y'all saw that's important for us to look at?
I get most of my news from Facebook, so it's not always very reliable.
There you go. Probably that fake news.
That's fake news. That's right.
That's it. Yeah.
Alternative facts, you know.
The Onion.
The Onion, that's right.
That's it. Between The Onion and Babylon B.
Oh, my goodness.
You're good. I will say you could pray for my hometown, Albany, Georgia.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they had about 3 weeks ago some major storms come through, a lot of damage done. But this time a tornado hit this past weekend and... killed, I believe, 4 so far that they've identified at this point that are dead. So, a lot of work that's got to be done ahead to, you know, working to get trees off of houses, and a lot of people lost their homes and lost loved ones and those kind of things. So, anyway, keep that on your prayer list. Absolutely. I will say one of the things that I came about yesterday. Yesterday was Monday, yeah. So, President Trump, which is kind of weird to say.
Yeah, it's strange to hear.
Yeah, so President Trump did, he signed what's called the Mexico City, I believe. I don't know, executive order. And basically it stops taxpayer funding of abortion overseas, which... I didn't know that the American government pays for abortions overseas, but evidently we do, and or we have at least for the last 8 years. and he signed an executive order rescinding that. So anyway, I think that's certainly a positive step. There were a lot of questions about whether Trump, who had been previously pro-choice, flipped to pro-life, whether he was actually a true pro-life candidate. But this was certainly a good first step in the protection of life. So we certainly applaud that. And when I read someone say this the other day, when he does things that for us as believers can be applauded, we applaud. When he does things that for us as believers can't be applauded, then we don't applaud. And we go from there. So
and pray for him in that way.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
So. You know, I did think of one more thing that has happened within the life of the church this past week.
All
and
right.
That is that our small groups started back up this past week.
Yes, right? They did.
Yeah, that's right, man. And some are actually kicking off, as you know, tonight.
Right.
And even tomorrow and Thursday. And it's been a good week so far for life groups. Absolutely. So.
That's great. I'll tell you, we did Financial Peace University, started it on Sunday, and there were 29 of us there, not including kids. Mm-hmm. So that was a large group, and people walked away feeling like they're going to get their teeth kicked in over the next 8 weeks or so from Dave Ramsey. So but that was good. Yeah.
That's
so
great.
We're excited. All right, guys. So is that it we want to talk about in terms of current events?
I believe so.
Is that good? So awkward transition now to the message. Can we do that? Does that sound good? We'll make that happen. So we finished up our series called Resolve. Worthy Christians for the resolution life, right?
That sounds right.
Worthy, yeah. What'd you put in this cup, Adam?
Water.
Okay, I was just making sure. It's clear, so.
It was whatever Scott had in that water bottle.
Ah, the band.
The band.
There we go.
Sounds right.
I had to have a conversation with them about that. So, worthy resolutions for the Christian life, and we talked about God's kingdom being a priority in our lives as believers. We covered Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34 this past week, and we talked about what it means for God's kingdom to be a priority in such a way that we reorient our lives around His kingdom, that His kingdom is a major priority for us in the way that we live our lives, and that affects every aspect of our lives. And so figured I would throw it to you guys to talk about it a little bit. So, Adam, you're up.
Yeah, I mean, I just, as I listened to the podcast, I was really...
Hang on, question.
Yep.
Did you listen to it double time?
I did, but I listened to it twice.
Oh, so, twice double time.
Yeah. Ah. So once was driving around in the car doing some different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't able to write down notes or anything, but just try to listen and familiarize myself with the message. And then again this morning, to where I could actually write some notes down and different things. So, I like the first part where you were talking about identifying Him as our King, and just the, you know, you said in the message, you know, about some of this is really hard for us to actually live out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years of just in my own walk with God, there's a lot of stuff that I know that I don't actually want to put into practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's just hard, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's part of becoming more like Christ every day, that part of that sanctification and becoming more like Him. But, and it was just a good reminder. You hit on a bunch of different things kind of under there. But, you know, kind of the whole idea of, I think at one point you said you can see in their eyes what they value the most.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about how the things that we value, the things that we hold to be the most important things in our lives, and how ultimately, really, it does come down to God being first place in our lives. And, you know, as a follower of Jesus, but also as a dad to kids, you know, one of the things that I want to try to instill in them is that God is first place in our lives. And you touched on a lot of different areas, and even under that with, you know, family or sports or even financial giving and different things like that. And just, you know, the idea that we are blessed in a lot of different ways, and we need to make sure that the temperature of our hearts is in tune with what God's desire is, which is for people to come to know Him. And just, you know, that needs to be our ultimate focus. Whereas a lot of times, just being honest, we all, I think, look inwardly and focus on ourselves and what makes us happy and comfortable and all that, when honestly, God, that's not what God's called us to do. He's not called us to live necessarily a comfortable life. He's called us to follow Him by carrying a cross. And it wasn't an easy task. And sometimes it's hard.
That's right.
Absolutely. Scott, anything stuck out to you on that first? And just to clarify on that, the first truth we said was that God's kingdom, if God's kingdom is going to be a priority in our life, we must identify Him as King.
That's right.
So,
I thought it was, as the series finale, I thought it was a great, you know, all-encompassing kind of umbrella over what we've talked about during this series. You know, if we get this right, God's rule and God's reign, if that's priority number one, everything else falls into place. You know, we will place the value, that the priority on His word, on His people, on His mission. And so I think this is a great way to conclude the series. And in regards to, we talked a lot about money, we talked a lot about earthly
treasures. Man, isn't it always good to go to church and hear a pastor talk about money?
Absolutely.
So, and now, it's always funny when you do that, because you know, certainly for the three of us, we derive our salaries from the church. The church pays us as full-time pastors on staff. But it's interesting, too, in the fact that not only is that the case, but we're also givers to the church as well. And I don't know that people always know that. And I almost went into it a little bit more in depth Sunday and just didn't. But, you know, the largest check outside of our mortgage check that we write is to the church every single month. And not because we have to, though there'd probably be some questions if pastors aren't giving, but because we believe, one, I believe that God's called us to tithe, and man, there's debates on that, you know, across the spectrum, but to tithe and then even give above and beyond that. And, you know, so we're not only doing that, but also giving to our land, our building fund, and even outside of our local church here, giving to other mission causes. We sponsor a Compassion International child that lives in Togo. And so for us, Togo, Africa. So
now I know Toto by Africa, but I don't know, or Togo. Africa by Toto.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, that's good. But anyway, back to that, of just saying, Adam. We've certainly personally in our lives learned that everything that we own, and one of the things that that Dave Ramsey teaches in Financial Peace and Crown Financial is one we took when we were first married, Jane and I. That everything we have, and I mentioned it Sunday, is God's.
That's right.
He's entrusted it to us to manage for His glory. And if we're unwilling to live in open-handed obedience to Him and giving, there's an issue there.
Right.
And that says something about our heart. It's not necessarily a financial deal. It's more of a heart issue than it is anything else. So, so yeah, I would certainly say that's one of the areas in our lives that we've looked at and said we want to be obedient to the Lord in this area. We want a priority for us and for our kids to know that that His kingdom is important, and that we're participating in that, not only through our time and through our talents and those kind of things, but through our treasure as well. So,
that's right.
But man, don't talk about giving at church, right? That's always always an interesting deal. Let me offer just a little bit. It's funny because no one came and said anything Sunday in a negative way about that issue of talking about giving. In fact, we had several people that reached out to me and said, hey, I appreciate you talking about that. Mm-hmm. A lot of churches won't talk about that. A lot of pastors won't talk about it. Or if they do, they talk about it in such a way as if, I need a new jet, Creflo. So we need you to give money so I can get a new jet or something like that.
If your last name was Dollar, you'd probably...
It'd probably work out that way. So my vehicle of choice is a Toyota Camry. So,
there you go.
And it's got 132,000 miles on it. So, man, it's got a lot of life left on it.
That's right, man.
We're good. I don't need anything
half
new.
Half-life right
so
now.
So that's it. But, I think it's easy for people to be turned off by what they would consider the excess, mm-hmm. give so that I can increase.
Right.
But just a reminder for all of us that 10%+ of everything, every dollar given mm-hmm. to North River Church goes beyond our church into some other mission organization, mission right. agency. So, everything doesn't stay here, mm-hmm. and we're not using everything just here locally, but it's moving globally as well. So when someone does give, not only are they participating in ministry that's going on here in our church locally and in this community, but they're participating in sending missionaries overseas. They're participating in supporting mission organizations that are at work all over the world. Mm-hmm. And we've got the privilege of being able to do that as Southern Baptists, as being able to partner together in the cooperative program. So mm-hmm. great opportunity to do that. And so I will say that, churches have offered I don't know what they call it, but like a giving challenge where, mm-hmm. hey, give for the next 90 days. And at the end, if you decide, hey, I wish I wouldn't, and I want right. that money back, we'll right. give it back to you. I'm not issuing one of those challenges. but I will say from, all of our working lives as a couple, I have never once looked and said, I wish I had back mm-hmm. the money right. that right. we gave in support of God's kingdom and God's work. Mm-hmm. Never have I thought, man, what could I have done with that amount of money at this point in time. So, mm-hmm. I think it shows where our heart is. So anyway, absolutely. Back, Scott, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good. And honestly, one thing I was...
Actually, I did mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, that was great. This is definitely shifting gears a little bit, but as I think about God's kingdom, we were talking with our life group, and I kind of made the...
Shameless plug!
I kind of made the
get in a life group.
the comment that as we begin a new year with a life group, we're gonna form relationships, friendships. We're gonna form that bond that you expect to form, but all the while we want to keep a kingdom perspective, a kingdom focus, because there's going to come a point where we're probably going to need to multiply into a new group, give birth to a new group.
Yeah.
And that can be painful for a life group
yeah.
because, you're not going to be able to stay with everyone that you have been meeting with for right. any given amount of time. And so, as we mentioned earlier about life groups, I think it's important to remember that if God's kingdom is a priority, it affects how we go about in these life groups and how we look towards reaching the community through these life groups.
Yeah,
it's not right. just a social club, obviously.
Yeah, so, that's right. Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's good. So we must identify him as king if God's kingdom is going to be a priority. We said the second truth from the text was if God's kingdom is going to be a priority in our life, we must submit to his sovereign rule. Mm-hmm. Simply put, God is in control.
Mm-hmm.
And the responsibility we have as his followers is to submit to his control in in the world, in our lives, and recognize even when things may be difficult, even when we may be walking through difficulties. And we've got a number of our folks in our church that are walking through difficult times right now, whether it's with their marriage, whether it's with you know, with cancer, whether it's just kids and struggles and things like that. But just the recognition that God is always on the throne. God is always in control. He's always sovereign over all of these things that that are happening. Now, that kind of pushes you into the question of, all right, why then does God allow some of these bad things to happen? If we're supposed to submit to that, why do bad things happen to people that are following him? And and we simply point back to the reality of sin that exists in the world. So God's not the author of sin. God's not the author of evil. He's given us the opportunity to choose to submit to him, to honor him, to follow him and his word, along with everyone else in society that we interact with. And when we don't do that, we call that sin. And so sin has consequences both in our lives individually, in the life of the culture collectively, and oftentimes outside people, non-believers, because of their sin, it does affect us. Oftentimes because of our own sin, that affects us as well, and we have consequences that we have to deal with. We live in a sin-tainted world, and that's just the reality of what we live in. That doesn't change the fact that God is in control. God can use even the consequences of sin in someone's life to draw them to himself, to shape and mold them into the person that he's called them to be. I mentioned on Sunday the promise that we have in Romans chapter 8 is that that all who are followers of Jesus, that everything that happens in our lives happens for a purpose and for a reason, and that it ultimately is for our good, that God is using those things to mold us and to shape us into who he's called us to be. So the question is, will we submit to that? And and I think that's where it's easy to say with our mouth, God is king, Jesus is Lord. It's a whole nother thing to say that and then submit to his rule and his reign in our lives. And so we considered the passage where he talks about God taking care of the birds, God taking care of the grass, realizing that in every single situation, God stands in the position of sustaining and keeping life, and we have the privilege to live life as he's given us instructions to live or choose not to. And it's a matter of whether we're willing to submit to him and to his sovereign rule and reign. So any thoughts on that, guys, that you had?
Yeah, just to echo what you were saying, I mean, it's hard to, I think, accept that sometimes. You know, just like you said a moment ago, you know, somebody's walking through some health issues or a divorce or, you know, some struggles with their family, kids, whatever. And, you know, to hear that, you know, hey, God's going to work all this out for your good, it's like, man, I don't want to hear that right now.
I really want to punch you in the face.
Right. Yeah. And, no, that's it. You know, just personally, like, I, you know, walked through a scenario like this with a really close friend within the past year. And through that whole thing, I mean, I learned that's not what he needed. I mean, it, you know, it's easy for me to stand there and, like, I mean, it's like bumper sticker, you know, spirituality or faith. You know, it's like he didn't need that. And really what he needed from me at that time was just somebody that was going to be there and just say, what can I do for you? And how can I pray for you?
Absolutely.
And, you know, there were nights where we would just sit down and I would just listen to him talk and I wouldn't say anything. I wasn't trying to, you know, and it helped him navigate through those things and through that time. And the reality is, you know, years from now, when we go after, you know, go through a hard time, we can look back and we can maybe at that point see what God's
hand at work.
Yeah, what God was doing through that. But sometimes, you know, you get so focused in on where we are, you feel like you have no, you know, you don't want to hear it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You have to remember during those times that God is, you know, the one that is in control. You know, the good happens to those who are followers of Him as well as those that don't follow Him.
Yeah.
But also pain happens to those that don't follow Him and those that do follow Him.
Yeah.
As a believer, the difference, though, is that we have faith in a God who does love us and has created us and wants a relationship with us.
Yep.
And so that can, as a follower of Him, give us, I guess, greater peace in those times of trial.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything, Scott, on that?
Yeah, and Pastor Adam kind of hit on this already, but, you know, that God is in complete control and He loves us. You know, if half of that was true, we'd have something to worry about.
Yeah.
But all of that is true. He's in complete control and He loves us. And then, you know, one of the most well-known, I guess, verses in Scripture, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And you mentioned that, you know, what are all these things? It's our needs, you know, that God will take care of our needs so that we can do ministry, so that we can be sent out for His kingdom purposes.
Yeah, absolutely. We wrapped up in the third truth being, if God's kingdom is going to be a priority in our life, we must trust His gracious provision. And what you hit on there, Scott, is just the reality that everything we need to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, we have, and He promises to give us. And so, you know, that doesn't mean that we get our wants necessarily.
Right.
Though oftentimes, Adam, you were telling me, tell me about that website again that you brought
up to this morning. You know, there, I was telling the guys earlier today about a website called the globalrichlist.com, I think is the... but it's globalrichlist.com, and you can go in there and you can type in, you know,
and Scott's face pops up.
That's right. No, you can go there and you can actually type in what you make as a you know what you bring home, and it will then calculate where you fall in the world economy. You know, I think with the average income of where we are in Parrish, and this is a household average income. You know, the average household income in Parrish would be in the top, like, 0.4% of the world. And so, whereas I know a lot of times, you know, in America, we look around and go, man, I don't have a whole lot. Or, you know, but in reality, we have a whole lot.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think, again, we need to be a generous people. We can be generous to giving to mission opportunities to where people can have the opportunity to know Him. And, you know, that's the reality of why God has left us here on earth, is to continue to make His name known. And I can't think of a better thing to do than to... be able to bless others financially and to give to mission organizations that are reaching out to the least of these.
Yeah, absolutely. So just throwing it out there, if you make $50,000 a year, you're in the top 0.31% of the richest people in the world by income. $50,000 a year.
Amazing.
And then the next one blows me away too. That makes you the 18th millionth richest person in the world by income. Okay,
wow.
So you think about that, you're like 18 is 18,652,583rd richest person on the earth by income. Now, pause for a second and you think that means there's over 18 million people that are more rich. They got more money than me. But do you realize that the population on the planet is 7 billion people? 7 billion right. people.
That's incredible.
So, wow. man, what we would consider middle class in this country is the top 0.31% in the world in terms of income. So, man, we are certainly incredibly blessed beyond anything that we deserve. And, you know, we've got to realize that and thank God for that. Be grateful for what He has given us, but be willing to use what He's given us and make an impact for His kingdom. So I believe it was Charles Wesley who, or maybe it was John Wesley, said, Charles Wesley was the hymn writer, wasn't he, Scott?
Well, they both did a little bit. But,
yeah, I think it may have been John Wesley, who's founder of Wesleyanism, Methodist Church, but his mindset was make as much as you can, save as much as you can, and give as much as you can. And when he died, he had a silver spoon to his name. So, you think about, you know, there are people, maybe even people within our church family, but certainly people that are believers that God has gifted with the amazing ability to make money, very entrepreneurial, very gifted in business, or whatever field they may be in, and they make a lot of money. And the issue is not how much you make or how little you make, but whether or not money is your God or not. And you can make $20,000 a year and money be your God, and you can make $2 million a year and money not be your God. And so for us as believers, I think the questions that we need to be asking are, how do I leverage the gifts and the talents, the abilities God's given me in terms of making money and saving and earning and investing and those kind of things so that it can be deployed for His ministry in the world. So that's good. All right, next week we are going to have a special service. It is the fifth Sunday of the month, and every fifth Sunday, we do what we call a family service, which means outside of our nursery and our toddlers, the rest of the kids will be with us in the service. We will gear that service a little bit towards maybe a little more upbeat music, a little more clapping, a little more dancing, a little more, you know, and by dancing, we don't mean going crazy, right, on, Pastor Scott?
Yeah. So we're going to run the aisle.
That's it, wave flags.
That's right.
Handle snakes. So
that's what I teach them back in the back.
That's, that's right. It's going to be exciting.
Showcase, man.
But doing motions, our kids love to do that. They love to worship. I love to see our kids worship and for them to because kids worship with heart and with soul and I mean just in a more free way than adults do. You know, sometimes we can get a little stiff, you know, we have a hard time clapping every once in a while, you know. But man, our kids love to worship, love to sing, and so I'm excited about bringing that energy from them into the service and getting a chance for them to be with their parents and their grandparents, worshiping together and hearing the word. Pastor Adam, you're on tap this week, bud.
Yeah, we'll be looking at the story of Ruth.
Ruth,
and we've been looking at the past. Couple of weeks we've been looking at God's amazing power.
Cool.
And this week we'll be kind of looking at God's amazing power working through families, and also it'll be a good message. I'm looking forward to that and having a special time to just talk to families and be able to pray over families and have families pray over their kids as well. So I have illustration that I believe should really hit home with moms and dads, and maybe make you even a little mad at me, but that's all right.
Yeah, that's good. So if you're planning on bringing rocks or tomatoes or something to throw Pastor Adam,
I'll take them.
Bring them home.
Bring them home. That's right.
So now, since we're talking about Ruth, I mean, I couldn't help but think we may need to give out Baby Ruth candy bars.
Ooh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be good?
There's peanut allergies.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Hey, we would do that, but we don't want anybody to die. All right, so Scott, worship this week?
Excited about it, man. It's going to be good. Several kids' songs that they sing. At least two of those I know are kind of VBS type songs.
Yeah, one they've done in VBS in the past, I believe. So.
We'll do a couple other kind of upbeat songs that we're used to on Sunday mornings.
So I like
it. Very excited about that.
That'll be fun. So we're looking forward to that. We will see you on Sunday and be family worship.
Woo!
Let's do it. All right, guys. Until next time. Break.